And welcome back to Fully Equipped, Golf.com's gear-focused podcast where we take weekly PGA Tour news and relate it to golfers of all skill levels. I'm Tim Breon, Senior Vice President of TruSpec Golf, joined face-to-face by Jonathan Wall, Managing Equipment Editor for Golf.com. Jonathan, you don't get a chance to do these face-to-face very often. It's a privilege.
And in New York, of all places.
Yeah.
We're both here at HQ this week trying to get some work done. But it's funny. We're in New York. I want to do the live from New York. It's fully equipped.
Yeah, live from New York. It's fully equipped. No kidding, right? So really cool chance to sit down with you for a little bit here and discuss gear. We're here at the golf magazine, golf.com headquarters on 42nd Street in Midtown.
This is a pretty
Manhattan.
Serious pod studio right here.
Yeah, we're not on the side of the road today. we're not in a utility closet.
As I've said before, proper digs. So yeah. it's like I said, but it's always fun to be able to do these in person, just because the flow is better.
That's in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, just to be able to
just
to hang
rapport, to be
yeah,
able
yeah,
to get back
of course,
and forth
of course.
With one another. So. We've got a lot of stuff to discuss this week. You know, this time of year, folks, is pretty slow out on tour for equipment news. You know, when we round the corner January 1st, heading into the new year, things, you know, we're going to have more content than we'd ever wish to discuss.
It's like opening up a fire hose.
We probably do two fully equipped episodes a week at that point. But
let's not get too ambitious over there.
Right? But this time of year, obviously, it's a little bit slower. You have a lot of players that are testing some gear. Some of them are trying to do it under the radar. They may not be introducing any of what they're testing, you know, in an event. But we do have a couple of notable things to mention this week out on tour. One of them revolves around Patrick Reed. Another one around Ricky Fowler. So that'll be great to get into. We've got some more news coming out of the folks at True Sports earlier this year. True Sports, which was formerly True Temper. Yeah, they're
really
together.
Busy.
They're putting together quite a juggernaut when it comes to shafts in the golf industry. So earlier in the year, they made an acquisition. We had Don Brown from True Sports on to talk about that acquisition. And they'll be making another. Well, they just finally closed on it. It'll be announced.
They did today.
They closed on it today. It'll be announced tomorrow. We're recording on a Wednesday here, folks. So Thursday, you'll see some news coming out from different golf media outlets about a new acquisition that True Sports has made. Really strong acquisition.
Quit teasing them. We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get there. So, and then we'll do some mailbag questions. And then, in line with the news coming out of the True Sports camp, we're going to have Gavin Robertson, formerly from Acra. And now head of True Sports Premium Custom. So we spent some time with Gavin a few weeks back now. This was prior to the news that's breaking here tomorrow.
It's pretty good timing.
But, yeah, it's great timing to get Gavin. You know, Gavin is one of our favorite people to work with at TruSpec. The Acra product lines have been amazing to work with. But just as far as, somebody that really knows product and has stuff that a lot of other manufacturers may not have. So things are obviously going well over in the True Sports camp. And then we'll close up the podcast. So, discussing Patrick Reed, saw some interesting stuff when I was tuned in to the Hero today.
Played pretty well with the new product.
He went low. And, so that golf course, have you ever been to Albany?
I have not. I know you've been there.
We've got
some stories. maybe for another pod.
I've been to the customs room at the Nassau Airport. Got to spend 8 hours in that room.
That may be one of my favorite Tim Breon stories.
We're going to get there. Yeah. I did tell the story. I got to tell you, I told the story on another pod.
Oh, what are you doing?
You're giving
the good content away?
Yeah, we'll have to get it on fully equipped here.
Oh, man.
I'm so disappointed. With the Hero this week, maybe we get into it, in this podcast. So in any event, yeah, Albany's a great, great facility. It doesn't blow as much as you would think down there. But I saw that the flags were moving around today a good bit. And
does TruSpec have a facility there?
We sure do. Yeah. We have a facility on the back of the driving range. We have a great relationship with the Tavistock Group. Tavistock Group is the development group that put together Albany with Tiger and Ernie Els. And we also have a facility at Lake Nona, which is another Tavistock property. And you're going to get to see something cool tomorrow. We've got a new TruSpec facility opening up here in New York City. So we operate here at Midtown.
Right.
We're going to do some work tomorrow for Club Test. And, you know, I know how things work. I know how things work when you're here in the office. You get pulled in 8 million directions. So we're going to take a field trip tomorrow, and I'm going to bring you down to Nexus Club. Nexus Club is at 100 Church Street. It's a block away from Freedom Tower.
Okay.
And it's on the seventh floor. It's a private members-only club that is spearheaded by T-Squared, which is Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake. And so...
Interesting.
It's a Tavistock, you know, kind of... it's a Tavistock club, so to speak. Was down there today. Man, it's super cool. So we're really, really honored and proud to have a new facility going into that facility in Lower Manhattan. So we'll get a chance to go check it out tomorrow. But getting back onto the topics of discussion with Patrick Reed, you know, he's been off contract for a while. So here's a guy that has not had a deal. And we saw some new irons in play today. I hadn't really heard much. This really flew under the radar as far as getting these irons in play. And what do you have for us as far as what they were?
Yeah, so get credit where credit is due. ESPN's Michael Collins was the first one.
He broke it?
He was there and, you know, snapped a photo of the irons. And
ESPN caddy, shout out to you, man.
That's right.
Nice
Michael
work.
Collins, love Michael Collins, good guy. Anyway, so new irons. And I think the first thing everybody noticed was that it has Reed's foundation logo.
Yep.
I think it's like a... I don't know if it's an eagle or not, but it's that kind of a black and a red with his logo on there, and
right.
It had his name on the irons, which, you know, okay, look, even if unless you're Tiger Woods, you're probably not going to have your own custom irons with your name stamped on the head. So I think that kind of piqued a lot of people's interest. And the first question for me, and I'm sure for you too, is who's making
these
irons?
Things?
Yeah, what are these? You know, yeah. They don't look like anything from a major manufacturer, and as you mentioned, Reed not
they look great though, so
oh, they do. No, they
just you can tell that they're not mass produced irons.
You're exactly right, and that's kind of where my thought went to was okay, he's not under contract, so you know he doesn't have to play a particular brand at all. This past season, he played Callaway, which is what he used to win the Masters.
Yep.
Also tried out Titleist as well, and then went back to his Callaway product. And you know, he's a traditional blade guy, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a great ball striker, likes to work it both ways, and that's just kind of the way Patrick Reed is. And so for him to go from, you know, a Callaway blade to this you know, mystery blade is what I was calling it, you know, there's not a lot going on, but, you know, we had a chance to talk to Reed, and he had a couple of interesting things to say about these irons. You know, one, he won't really divulge much yet.
Right.
But he said, I just like where we've been able to get the center of gravity, where we've been able to get everything on the golf club. When I make a swing that I feel like is supposed to be a 5-yard draw, I look up and the ball is starting where it's supposed to for a 5-yard draw. I feel increasingly like I've been making golf swings where I look up and the golf ball is not going where it's supposed to. And so he just feels like with these clubs, they were able to make some adjustments to them to get them where when he's pulling the trigger on a shot and he's looking for a 5-yard draw, that's what he's going to get. But again, if you look on the USGA's website, these irons are not made here in the U.S., you know, by any of the major manufacturers. It's, you know, it says it's manufactured by Emery Japan.
Right.
Rumors going around also that Grindworks,
yep,
out of Japan is making Reed's irons, but you know, Reed said they're not going to have any sort of info until the Tournament of Champions beginning of January. So we'll have to wait long.
Two big things to discuss with this topic. So number one, the center of gravity, or where the mass of the club head is centered around. That's probably one of the most important things in golf club design when you're talking about all the other features like perimeter weighting and offset, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of those are plays on center of gravity. Where are they? What are they doing to the center of gravity? Are they putting it in a position to make the club more stable? Or are they doing it to allow for more workability? So what Patrick said as far as the CG placement on these irons, you know, the physics that he demonstrates at impact as far as the angle of attack, the speed, the path, the face angle, and then a really big thing here being the strike point on the face. You know, when we're talking about where the ball is striking on the face of the club, you're not necessarily always going to strike it in the center with a tour pro. Now, they strike at the same place every time.
I know.
But it may be a little, it may be a little bit of heel biased. It may be a little bit toe biased. It may be a little lower on the face, a little higher on the face. But not every guy out on tour is diming it right out of the center of the face.
Tiger's was a little bit more towards heels.
That's
heel
correct.
Side. Yeah,
Sergio is a little bit towards the toe. And you're talking about amazing iron players. You know, Tiger's probably the best iron player on tour. And Sergio was a very close second for many years. So, you know, you're talking about folks that are, you know, they're almost savants when it comes to iron play, and one's hitting a little bit towards the heel, the other right. a little bit towards the toe. So where the strike point is on the face, matching up with where the CG location is in the head, if you're a slight biased heel striker and that CG placement on that specific iron head is a little toe biased, then you may not get results that you really like. And then vice versa, the same thing. So
I'd be curious to see with these irons how they match up with his Callaway's one heel to toe.
One that he won the Masters with.
Yeah. Right. One, how does it match up heel to toe, blade
like
length,
the length
wise? And
right.
then what about the hosel?
Yeah. So how what's the length
what's
of
the
hosel?
What's the length of, yep.
What's the length of the hosel? How much offset compared? All of these things are going to play into where the CG is placed in that head.
And that's kind of what I'm getting to.
Sole width.
Yeah, what kind of little adjustments were made. Because
how
again,
much camber on the leading edge.
Yep.
You know, obviously these are irons that Patrick had some design input probably from the comments that he made. It sounds like he's saying, hey, you know, I was able to work with a manufacturer to get them to really dial in a CG placement in the head that really works for the way I swing the club. Obviously, this isn't something that the average retail golfer has access to, but,
right.
you know, going to a club fitter like TruSpec, any qualified club fitter that works brand agnostically through all the different brands, it's so important to go to a qualified fitter that understands the nuances of CG placement and where a player is actually striking it on the club face. You may not be able to design an iron specifically just for you, but you have so many different products that are available out there. You'll be able to pick something at a, you know, at a retail level that matches up pretty well with what you tend to do. So really, really important takeaway there. Now, next thing I want to get into with this topic is you mentioned Grindworks.
Yep.
Most of the folks listening probably are saying grind what? So
it's probably not a brand that people
it's
are
not a household with. Brand in the golf industry, but you know, to those of us like you and I, we're familiar with Grindworks, but it's part of a category of golf clubs when you're talking brands and manufacturers. You know, we look at Kiyoi, you look at On Off. A lot of our listeners are saying, what are these guys talking about?
They're probably like, all right, I'm done.
Right. You got PRGR. You've got so many of these really cool Japanese market golf clubs that are available. You know, a product that we're very familiar with, Mura, you know, yep. Mura Golf. Mura has kind of a Japanese only brand called Mura Geekin. Now
people are going to ask, what's the difference between...
Nowadays, it's almost nothing.
That's to say, now it's changed.
They've changed
it. Used to be different.
It used to be a different product line. Mm. It used to have an MG product that was not available for Mira Golf.
That was
Golf,
the maddening part.
And then vice versa.
Again, I'm a lefty, so it didn't really matter.
Right.
But if I was a righty...
Nowadays, they've done a great job of consolidating their SKUs and making sure that they match up well. But, you know, when you look at some of these high-end Japanese products... some people may argue the Japanese are some of the best metallurgists in the world as far as, you know, you look back at their metallurgy technology going back centuries and, you know, the whole samurai sword myth, right? Interestingly enough, you talk about Mira, the Mira factory is Himeji. Himeji is, you know, the Himeji castle, which is old samurai lore. That was like the headquarters of the samurai back in the day. So, but the bottom line here is when you look at whether it's Grindworks, whether it's Kiyoi On Off, you're talking about a very, very high level Japanese product that's not widely distributed in the United States. Why play these products? It's not just because they're niche and they're cool and nobody else has them. The craftsmanship, the attention to detail, you know, when you're looking at head weights for a set of clubs, they're going to be dialed in to the half a gram. When you're looking at the tolerances throughout the manufacturing processes. You know, you've got another Japanese brand out there called Epon, which is made at a special forging house called Endo Manufacturing. You know, a lot of an iron that's flown under the radar for a long time now is Strixon. And a lot of people don't know this, but Strixon is actually forged by Endo Manufacturing, the same group that makes Epon. When the Sumitomo Tire Company took over Strixon Cleveland, they started forging all the Strixon product at this forging house.
Yep.
And you saw an immediate improvement in the quality of Strixon irons. So where the metals they're using, the techniques they're using as far as the forging process, the attention to detail, if something comes off the die press and it's not perfect, they're not going to continue forward with trying to polishing it and grinding it and putting it out into the retail market. So it tends to be a lot higher priced, but the attention to detail is a lot higher. The tolerances are usually a little bit tighter.
Kind of goes back to fitting, though. You know, yeah. We talked about it on previous podcasts, not just one of them, but the fact that if you're going to get a set of golf clubs,
yeah.
You know, why don't you pay to get them custom fit?
Golf clubs are expensive. Even cheap golf clubs are expensive.
Same way with irons. You know, yeah. I mean, sometimes, and again, you have to test them. You just can't go buy one of these sets of high priced irons and expect that you're going to drop shots. But you know,
get fit for them,
or at least throw them in the rotation if you're going to test.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important. And look, a guy like Patrick Reed went outside of, I would say, his comfort zone. You know, that's I'm sure that's a brand he had never really heard of. And he said he's, you know, these have kind of been in the works for about a year.
Right.
So, I mean, you can tell, again, attention to detail here. He was looking for something very specific.
You know, I would put some of these Japanese forging houses and manufacturers on par with what we've seen coming out of Artisan. And, you know, you are seeing
a lot of boutique brands.
You're seeing some boutique brands pop up here in the United States that are being led by gentlemen who had positions with major brands, major OEMs. They kind of established themselves as being industry leaders when it comes to irons or wedges or putters or what have you. And then they branched off and now they're starting their own product lines, their own brands.
Reed has Artisan, or I should say he now has a Artisan wedge, but he had more than one when he won the Masters.
When he won the Masters. Yep. So you're seeing, you know, some of these more boutique-y brands pop up. You know, we mentioned Mira earlier. Mira has been on the scene since 1957. So when you're talking about these super premium products that are coming from markets that people may not be familiar with, you know, it's not new. It's not like it's like only 10 years old. There have been these super premium products for a while.
It just took some time to get over to the U.S.
Took some time
for people players.
Yeah, exactly right. I was, you know, remember the Jays driver?
Yeah, I do.
Remember that thing? So, like, that was all the rage back in the day, the Jays driver. And that was something that came over with Jumbo Ozaki, who's, you know, a legend over in Japanese golf. So, you know, some of the Japanese players that have come here and played in the States, they've brought some of these high-end Japanese products with them. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see, you know, a non-contract PGA Tour player starting to get some of these products in the bag. Maybe that opens up the discussion here in the United States as far as some of these other product lines. Mm-hmm. So, and with that, probably makes sense to get into tour topic number two, which is Ricky's driver.
Right.
What's going on with Ricky's driver?
Well, again, kind of going back to like Reed, you know, Hero is a no-cut event. So, yeah. You know, you get an opportunity to put new gear through its paces to see how it performs in a competitive setting. And Ricky's kind of, I'm sure he's probably doing the exact same thing with the new Cobra driver that came out. And you and I have talked a lot about Speed Zone on the podcast, and Ricky finally put one in play. Same, you know, and this is what I want to get into is not so much just the fact that he changed his drivers, but he stuck with the same head loft, 10.5 degrees.
Yep.
But he went from so with his previous driver with the F9, he went from 10.5 to 9.5. So changed the loft sleeve down a degree, open up the face.
Yep.
Now he actually is down 1.5 degrees,
yep.
which is always interesting when a guy adjusts the loft on his driver. What do you think if you were going to kind of hypothesize what's going on with that driver? I mean, these are not the same heads, so there's got to be some things, internal geometry.
So when we look at the F9 product, which was a great product, it had that inertial generator towards the back of the club, kind of throughout the sole plate. It was this triangular shaped, you know, design feature that was on the sole of the golf club. When we look at Speed Zone, we don't see that anymore. Which tells me that the inertial properties of this new Speed Zone product are probably very different from what we saw out of the F9 product line. Now, when you start changing the inertial properties or CG location of the golf club, that's going to radically change potentially how the shaft tends to bend and flex. So if the CG properties are further away from the face and down, you know, towards the bottom of the club, that's going to have an effect over the shaft, where the shaft tends to bend more, specifically forward towards the target. We've talked about this before.
Yep.
When that happens, that's going to raise loft and close the face. Well, the benefit of a rear and deep CG is that it's more stable. It's more forgiving. When you hit it off the center, you're not going to hit it as crooked. The unintended effect of that, so to speak, is that, and in some cases it's intentional, but most of the times really good fitters understand this and understand how the CG placement plays into shaft selection. But for a lot of folks, the unintentional side effect is that the shaft actually starts to perform differently based on a different CG location. So if we've got a more stable driver, which is what we saw in club test, we saw a very, very stable driver. We didn't see a lot of differences in toe and heel hits. We didn't see a lot of gear effect going on.
That was a very stable driver from that.
Yeah. And so when we see that, that tells me that we've got a CG placement that's pretty low and pretty deep, which maybe we're creating a little more lead deflection in the shaft. And granted, folks, this is all, some presumption here.
Yeah, yeah. We're just riffing on this.
But the fact is a more stable driver, you're probably getting more lead deflection, which is causing more loft, more closed face. So it stands to reason, what are you going to do to correct that? You're going to de-loft the driver,
right,
which also opens the face a little bit, another half a degree to help. Probably a decision that was guided by ball flight. He probably saw that the window maybe was just a hair higher, a little bit more left than he liked it. So let's turn that loft down a little more.
But let's spin this like we always do for what can the average golfer learn from this? And the important thing here is that Ricky Fowler doesn't use the same loft on every driver from year to year, which goes to show you that if you're going to be buying a new driver, just because you had a 9-degree head in your previous product doesn't necessarily mean that, even if you're staying within the same brand
or even the same general product type within the brand,
you might not be the same loft. Again, internal geometry being what it is, you might be going up or even down in loft. So it's possible.
Biggest thing here is obviously a starting point is use what you know to start off, and then pay attention to the ball flight. And if the ball flight's a little high and a little left, probably have to open the face and de-loft it a little bit more. Just because you've played a 10.5 driver turned to a 9.5 doesn't mean that you're going to be using that setup in perpetuity. And it's almost like folks get superstitious over their settings. I've seen this with players. I play it turned down. It's almost like a badge of courage to play an open face de-lofted driver. It makes you a better player almost in some players' minds that you need a de-lofted driver. Well, you know, at the end of the day, the golf ball doesn't know anything about superstition. All it knows is about the squareness of the face, the speed, and the angle of attack and the path.
What is that, like vanity launch angle? We've got vanity handicaps, vanity launch angle.
You got a lesson in the golfer's ego out at Silverleaf in Scottsdale with club test.
It's alive and well. Let me just say that.
Have you ever been exposed to how strong the golfer's ego is until that exercise? Was it like black and white in the face? Like, oh my gosh, this is crazy how biased some of these folks are.
Yeah, I mean, even when you tell them to leave their biases at the door, which I always tell them, they can't. It's human nature to just, you like what you like, and that's what you kind of want to get. You're going to kind of stay in that area. But it's funny how when you give them something totally different, and the first thing that they do is they kind of balk at it. No way. And then
you know what it's like as a club fitter, you know what it's like? It's like feeding a little toddler. And you're like,
I know what that's like. Just try it.
It's going to taste okay. Yeah. I promise you. And they won't even try it.
Yeah. And that was kind of the same way. And lo and behold, a lot of golfers came away going, wow, that's a product that I never would have tried. And it's actually really good.
In the format of club test, they're going to be more open-minded because it's not like they're making a purchase here. They're just simply smacking three shots and seeing what happens. And if it's a product that they never would have considered, they're going to be more open-minded to review or rate that product as a good performing product.
But some even, Tim, the craziest thing was even like you said, even though they're here just banging balls, offering up feedback, there were some times where I'd hand them a club and they're like, oh, no, I don't want to hit it.
They still didn't want to hit it.
So I don't want to hit it.
It's crazy.
And that's the thing. It's like,
you're not buying it, man.
You're not buying it. Just take three whacks with it and just tell me what you know, tell me what you see, what you feel, what you're hearing.
Golfers are a bit crazy. So, you know, I think it's time to get into the news that's breaking.
Yeah, let's not tease people anymore with this.
So, got a call from Gavin Robertson today, formerly from Acura, now heads up custom for True Sports. You know, as some of our listeners are aware, earlier this summer, True Sports, which used to be True Temper, the reason they changed to True Sports is they're now branching out into other athletic avenues as well. But True Sports made an acquisition of Acura.
It's a big deal. But, you know, for some people out there listening, they might not really care. But
Very few of our listeners probably know who Acura is. Acura is an aftermarket premium. Well, the reason being that they don't do any OEM shafts.
That's true.
You can't buy a single Acura shaft through Callaway or through TaylorMade, not even in their custom programs.
Yeah, I'm thinking more through Tour, you know, and especially in the last year or so with Jason Day using their product and Tony Finau.
Adam Scott used it for a while.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there are some big names that have used their product on occasion.
You know, for the average golfer out there, Acura is not a shaft brand they're super familiar with because it's not available from a manufacturer. You have to go to a custom premium fitter for it. And so one of the things about, you know, Acura that's really cool, which we're going to have Gavin on the pod here a little bit later in this episode an interview, is that because they're not catering to mass production where they're looking at targeting the middle of the bell curve, so to speak, and appealing to the broadest range of golfers, that's not what Acura is all about. Acura is about custom fitting. So a company that's about custom fitting, they're going to design products that have a little bit wider performance, performance profile. So they're going to specialize in designing stuff for people that need to hit it significantly higher with a lot more spin, or people that need to hit it significantly lower with a lot less spin. They're not as concerned about catering to this middle of the bell curve. They want to make sure that they have products that are available for literally every type of golfer and every type of performance issue that they can be having. So that was something that happened earlier this year. And then the news that will be announced tomorrow is that True Sports has just acquired AeroTech.
This is a big deal when you look at it as a whole now. You know, True Temper.
And for folks that aren't familiar with AeroTech, give me two really good players they know that play AeroTech product.
I mean, two guys, Matt Kuchar and Brant Snedeker.
And how long have they been playing it?
I mean, for as long as I can remember, you know, and I've,
a while
it's
now.
Been a while. I mean, I'd have to go back seven, eight years maybe that they've been using the product. I mean, it's funny, those two guys, for, you know, they're good friends, but it's interesting how there are some players out on tour that are buddies.
Right.
You'll kind of notice one of them has a product, and then
not
shortly thereafter, the other guy. But AeroTech is different in that they, you know, kind of a layman's term for them would be a great option for the golfer that still likes that steel feel, but gets the benefits of graphite, and that's where AeroTech's kind of made its money, is being able to give better players, in particular, again, guys like Sneds and Cooch,
people that have some speed that want
speed,
more stability.
Yep, and that seems to be the one thing we've talked about before. One of the issues with carbon fiber shafts, especially particularly in the iron shafts, is that they just tend to be a little bit, you know, for whatever reason, feel is always a little bit different, especially if you're a steel guy.
They feel more flexible.
Yeah,
they feel...
and just overall, they're a little bit more unpredictable.
Yep.
Sometime on the shots, you know, you might catch one that goes, you know, 5 yards beyond, and look,
not just a distance dispersion thing. Sometimes it's an accuracy thing.
It is.
You know?
No, you're right. It is.
So, you know, the thing that, that AeroTech, you know, has really done a great job with is they take carbon fiber prepreg like most graphite shafts. The reason they call it steel fiber is because
steel filaments.
They actually have some steel filaments in their you know material.
So but it's that, more on the outer section of the shaft. Yeah, it's the, out the on graphite's exactly. More on the inner portion.
So the inner prepreg, you know, the inner portion of the shaft is traditional prepreg, and then towards the outer layers they have some steel filaments in there that are woven into that material. And the idea there being is that steel mesh, so to speak, it's not really mesh, but it kind of mimics it. That steel mesh is going to provide a layer of stability over the top of all those carbon fibers. And so it's going to give you more stability like steel, but still have some of the playability and vibration dampening and potentially, you know, some of the launch condition, you know, characteristics of carbon fiber.
But this is a big acquisition for them.
So how many years has True Temper, now True Sports, how many years have they led steel iron shafts?
I mean, I probably should have looked it up. I mean, it's
forever, I don't know if they're ever. Even since prehistoric time.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's been a really, really long time that they have led the steel shaft counts out on the PGA Tour.
Now they have Acura.
Now they've added Acura as a piece on the board, and so Acura is super premium
woods,
super premium woods brand that
now
can
positioning
fit.
Positioning themselves with AeroTech.
Now they have a carbon fiber. You know, if there was one weakness in the armor, so to speak, with True Temper, True Sports after the Acura acquisition, it was okay. Acura has some really good carbon fiber iron products, but they're really more known for the wood products.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they, you know, we do very well at TruSpec with the Acura iron products, but that's AeroTech's sweet spot. They've been, you know, that's pretty much where they created their entire brand from, was the steel fiber products.
They're covering all their bases now.
Yeah, they've got something for everybody, and the only thing that we haven't seen yet is a super high-end premium putter shaft, but I'm sure know. That if we talk to Gavin and Don Brown, they probably have that in the works.
Go take Gavin out for dinner, Tim. And,
I'm going to see him next
back.
Week in Scottsdale. Gavin's
well, there we go.
Gavin's a great guy. We're going to get him on the pod later on in this episode. Always entertaining to spend time with him. And with that, we probably should get into mailbag for the week. We've had a bunch of questions come in, new questions, which is great. And some of those questions are definitely worth discussing on the pod.
First one, Nolan Walsh Golf asks, what's the average driver length on tour?
I don't know what it was for 2019, shame on me, but I know that for many years it's been right in that 44 3/4 inch range.
Say, yeah, 40, it's kind of maybe like 44.5. I mean, guys have really started to go shorter.
We've seen a trend this year specifically where we've seen a lot of folks testing shorter.
I know.
And now that's very interesting because some of the new products that are launching in 2020, those standard stock shafts are actually getting a little longer again. So there was a period in time when manufacturers were installing 46-inch shafts into their products, and then they got a little shorter, getting all the way down to 45 1/4. Now it seems like some of these products are actually getting longer again at 45 1/2, 45 3/4. Yet when you're looking at competitive players, they're playing stuff that's 44 3/4, 44 1/2. Now, this one you may not know. What's the average driver shaft length on the LPGA Tour?
I'm going to say 44.
45 1/4. Weird, right?
Really?
It's longer than men's.
Now, what would be the reasoning for that?
So, you know, you look at Tony Finau. He went shorter, picked up clubhead speed, picked up ball speed, hit it
which
further.
Is really stupid.
A bit of an anomaly.
Yeah, yeah.
But in general, you go with a longer shaft. The idea, based on physics, is that a longer moment arm.
Right, yeah. Go longer, going to pick up some more speed.
You're going to potentially create a little bit more speed.
Right.
For the ladies out on the LPGA, usually hitting it out of the center of the face with a square face isn't a problem they have.
Yeah.
They're actually more precise.
I said that. Yeah, that's true.
They're actually more precise. Accurate. They're more accurate, more precise with their face angle and strike point on the face than even some of the PGA Tour players.
So they can probably afford to go a little bit longer.
They can sacrifice a little bit of face angle and consistency of strike point going a little bit longer, with the trade-off of maybe that's going to give them another 7-8 yards off the tee, maybe even 10 yards off the tee. You know how long Brooke Henderson's driver is, right?
No.
48, baby.
Wait.
It's a long drive driver shaft. It's not actually a long drive driver shaft.
48?
I know that. I'm pretty sure she gamed a 48-incher in a couple.
Have to look this up.
I know that it's, I mean, if you watch her use it, it's, I mean, the darn driver shaft, like when she sets that thing up, it looks like the driver's going to be
48.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, isn't it?
That is wild.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen
a competitive player, especially number two in the world right now. So
there's got to be a story there.
I'm not advocating at all for our listeners for you to consider.
Go to 48. Go to 48, listeners. Why not? Just
stock up on your golf balls. So you'll find Jonathan in the woods searching for.
I was going to say, I'll be right there stocking up. When I lose my balls on the course, I'll have enough reloads.
So, but the point here being that most of the PGA Tour players are using shorter than what the average amateur is using, and the reason being for control. They're trying to hit fairways. Hitting it another 10 yards further to them doesn't mean as much if they're hitting it out of the rough. You know, obviously the rough is pretty penal out on the PGA Tour. Was out in San Diego a week ago, stopping by Torrey. And, the tournament's out there, in a month and a half? That rough is absolutely devastating already.
Make you want to quit golf if you're hitting it offline.
What they have to do to golf courses these days, not to Tiger proof, but just to PGA Tour proof these courses.
It. Yeah,
it's almost unplayable for the average golfer. I wonder if you took a 20 handicap and you had him play the Monday before the event every single week, what would happen to that handicap? It would go sky high.
Oh yeah.
They do it during the Open, but, the Open, everybody understands the Open is extremely challenging and the setups are impossible.
For masochists only.
But, just the week-to-week setups out on the PGA Tour, I mean, they're brutal. So the reason that they're going to slightly shorter setups has a lot to do with gaining a little bit of control and accuracy. Lesson learned for all of our amateur listeners out there. At least when you're getting fit for a driver, at least try stuff that's at 45. At True Spec, we feature 45-inch driver shafts pretty much through the entire matrix. The grips that we use don't taper as much as normal grips. So then if we need somebody to try it at 44.5, 44.75, it's available for them to do so if they grip down a little bit on it. The one thing to be careful of if you're at home just shortening your driver, I'm going to chop an inch off this thing.
It won't do anything to your swing weight.
It's not that simple, folks, because if you drop an inch off or a half inch off the length of your driver, it's going to change the swing weight significantly, and the swing weight is the balance of the club. And why is that important? Your ability to hit the ball in the center of the face with a square face has to do with your perception of where the club head is while you're swinging it. And swing weight is a feature that directly relates to your perception of that club head. So if you shorten the shaft significantly and you don't account for it in other weighting features, there's a good bet that you're going to lose a sense of where the club is while you're swinging it, probably to your detriment. So,
all right. Question two from Cruz Edgmington. When you test a new driver, and we're talking about you and me,
yep.
Do you test with your same shaft already in play?
I start there.
Yeah, it's a good starting point.
But I'm open-minded enough to say, maybe this product that I've used for the last 4 years. I mean, you look at Dustin, right? Dustin,
look
used
at me.
That Speeder 661 for how long?
Look at when you and I tested.
Right.
I had been using that same shaft in my driver for, at least 4 or 5 years. And we got on launch. Our spin was way too low. Yep. Scary.
Falling
low.
Out of the sky.
Yeah. And so again, there's a perfect example. I'll use myself as the guinea pig here. Yeah. Don't use the same shaft from driver to driver and think it's going to get the same
there,
results.
Right. You're going to start there because it's a familiar feel, and more than anything, it's a baseline for you to be able to compare club head performance.
Mm-hmm.
So you start off using the same shaft when you're testing, and you say, okay. With this club head set up and this shaft with my old gamer, all of a sudden the only variable that I changed here was the club head and my spin went down 800 RPMs. Well, clearly this club head is a lot lower spinning. So if I really want to consider playing this club head, then I'm going to have to play a different shaft here too. Plus, it's also a familiar feel as far as your release patterns and weight and profile of the shaft. So it's always a good idea when you're testing drivers, not just drivers, but irons as well, any product that you're testing, only change one variable at a time. So if you're changing the head, try to use a shaft that's either the exact same or extremely similar. That way you know that as the needle for performance is moving, that it's moving due to the one component that you're testing, which in this case is the head. Don't try to start changing multiple components because then you have no idea what's going on. At that point, you're just throwing paint up on a wall to see what sticks. And you're never going to know what was the reason why you're either playing better or playing worse. It's just kind of random selection at that point. So we promised this at the beginning of the pod. This is Albany Hero Challenge Week. Before we get into our interview, we'll go here for just a few minutes. So TruSpec, we have the privilege of working with some really amazing athletes on the PGA and LPGA Tour. And our owner or our CEO, Hoyt McGarity, has done a lot of work with some of these premier athletes out on the PGA Tour. You mentioned we have a facility down at Albany. Not Albany, New York, folks. Albany, Bahamas.
And a little bit nicer digs.
Yeah, so so I get the call from Hoyt one day saying, you know, Justin Rose was at the time on a TaylorMade deal, considering putters. You know, at the time, Rosie was like 130-something in the world with his putting stats. It was not good.
Not to go off the rails, but it's amazing, the transformation.
So, I mean, it's, you know, Sean Foley had always said that if Justin can just be an average putter, he'll be one of the top three players in the world. If you can get him to being top 20 putter, then he'll be the best player in the world. He was on record saying that many years ago. You know, that his ball striking stats were just so off the charts, so good, almost robotic. So I'm told, you know, okay, you're going to get called in at some point. There's a chance you get called in to do some putter work with Rosie. So the first question is, well, are we limited to TaylorMade? And the answer to that was basically yes. We can test some other models, but at the end of the day, the likelihood of another model going in play is almost slim to none.
There's a contract there.
But what we'll probably do is we'll use that head shape, that head style. We'll send it over to the guys at TaylorMade, and they'll do their magic to kind of replicate it as close as they can without, you know, creating any legal problems here. So we go over there. I have 12, 13 different prototypes made from all these different manufacturers. I mean, what do prototype putters go for on eBay?
I mean,
especially if you can attach it to a name.
Oh, you know, you're talking 10,000, 5 to 10, depending on the player.
Yeah, depending on material. Material, GSS.
Yeah, exactly. Material. But, you know, if you're talking tour putters, they're probably not anything.
Minimum
that you're
2K
gonna be
able, use yeah, case. Minimum yeah. 2K. So I've got 12 of these suckers in my travel bag. I've got 3 7 Dreamer shafts. For those folks that may not be familiar with 7 Dreamers, that's a premium, you know, Japanese product.
Give them the price point for a 7
So
Dreamer
their
shaft.
Entry level 7 Dreamers shaft goes at around $1,300-$1,400. That's not the one I had with me. I had a special, I had 3 special one of a kind prototypes that I had specifically
and
made.
And they're all complete one offs.
They're all one offs. So these are all the only kind of it in the world. They were all prototypes, not for Rosie, but for another super premium player. We'll leave the name out, but former world number one. And just curious about the shafts. And so the ones that I was bringing with me are retailing around the $15,000 range, $15,000 per shaft. So
are you sweating when you're like putting this on an airplane going?
Maybe ignorance is bliss, but no. So
that's crazy. I would be losing sleep on the flight over.
I've got a set of prototype, never released irons from a special Japanese manufacturer that both Rosie and this other player want to look at because they're interested. We've got all of Rosie's TaylorMade mill grind wedges that he was putting in play the following year in the bag.
So you basically have Fort Knox in a box.
So we've got. You know, and I was supposed to fly over private aviation, and last minute that changes, and I've got to go over commercial, which is, you know, no big deal. And
you usually fly around on a PJ anyway. So.
Yeah, I wish. So So anyways, get off the plane, customs agents, you know, are you here for pleasure or for work? I did specify I was there for pleasure. I was there on vacation because
mistake.
I knew, well, no, that actually was the right play because we weren't able to arrange for a work visa in time. Everything was so short notice. We'll fast forward the story. I get accused of smuggling golf clubs.
I get accused time ever.
So I'll always remember, and all the stupid things I've done in my life to get arrested. The thing that almost puts me in jail for a while is golf clubs.
Golf clubs, smuggling golf clubs.
Really? So I'll always remember the look on the customs agent's face when the first thing they do, they say, okay, here on business or pleasure, here on pleasure. I've got a travel cover of golf bag with all this gear inside of it. As long as they don't ask me to open up the travel cover, I'm good. They asked me to open up the travel cover.
Just tell them you're a golf junkie.
So now I open up the travel cover and I've got all this stuff in bubble wrap. Like all this stuff is protected to the max. I mean, we're bringing it over for the best players in the world just to test. So they say, okay, we're going to confiscate this. I've got a $20,000 putting camera with me called a Quintic. I've got $100,000 worth of stuff on my person.
Easy. I mean, easy when you consider those shafts.
So they say, we're going to confiscate all this gear. We think that you're trying, we think that there's something, we don't know what's going on, but we think that there's something suspicious going on here. So I immediately call up Hoyt, say, hey Hoyt, got a problem here, man. They're going to confiscate all this gear. What do I do? And he's like, I don't know. Just tell them the truth. Tell them you're there to work. And I go back to the customs agent. I learned, don't ever lie to a customs agent, ever. And go back to him and say, listen, I wasn't 100% truthful. I'm not here on pleasure. I'm going down to Albany. I'm here to work with some VIP clients. I'm a club fitter. They don't know what club fitting is. And they say, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm bringing these clubs down. They're PGA Tour players. I mentioned the PGA Tour players' names.
They're probably just going, who?
Oh, no, no, no.
Did they actually? Oh, the one name. Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to mention the name, but there aren't many people in the world that don't know this name. And the look on that customs agent's face when I said, I'm here to bring some golf clubs over for so-and-so to test. And she looks at me and goes, you're going to do what with who? And I'm just like, oh, no, I'm going to jail. So they confiscate all the gear. They throw me back in a holding cell. It ends up becoming a mess. The different sports management firms are involved with breaking me out of jail. We've got politicians involved all over golf clubs.
All because of golf clubs. So First and last time you're ever going to lie to a customs agent.
Well, so Hoyt, our CEO, was married at Albany last year, and I hadn't been back. And we're getting off the plane, and my wife looks at me and goes, are we going to have a problem?
So, are you on some sort of list at Albany?
You know what? Not at Albany, but I was like, you know what? Maybe we have to come in under the cover of darkness, maybe we need to come in on a boat in the Albany Harbor here to get on the island. So anyways, everything went smoothly. Albany's an amazing place. I ended up having a pretty amazing story to tell out of this whole experience.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorites.
But with that, you know, to all of our listeners out there, I won't bore you anymore. I do have a few other aces up the sleeve here that I'll share.
Just don't share them with other podcasts. That's truly disappointing.
I'll do my best. I was bribed. That's the story I'm going to go with.
They paid me off to tell it.
I'd
say it better been with something good, some sort of really good meal or something.
Yeah. And with that, let's get into the interview with Gavin Robertson from True Sports and Acura and their direction forward. And folks, we're very happy here at Fully Equipped to have Gavin Robertson, who is the Director of Premium Aftermarket Sales for True Sports. Gavin, welcome to the pod.
It's a pleasure to be here. I've been listening to your podcast for quite a while now, and it's exciting to be involved in it personally.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We're really happy to have you. You know, we're very familiar with each other from all the stuff that we've done together with Acura and TruSpec. And you know, a few months back we had Don Brown from True Sports on about the merger of Acura Shafts and True Temper into True Sports. How's everything going with the integration so far?
You know what? Everything's going great. As of June 21st, True Temper and their parent company, True Sports, acquired PGMC, which is basically the parent company to Acura. And it was a marriage made in heaven in some ways, in that people don't usually realize that PGMC has been handling aftermarket sales for True Temper for almost 4 years. And so we've had a great partnership with True Temper for a while now. And we bring a lot of things to the table that that True Temper looked at as an advantage for distribution to the aftermarket. And Acura was kind of a bonus on top of that.
Yep. And so I'd be curious to get your take on, obviously, when it comes to steel shaft products, True Temper has been a leader in the clubhouse for many years out on PGA Tour. Acura has kind of flown a little bit under the radar, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But both of you have some very strong assets you bring to the table that throughout this collaborative should really reposition each brand more strongly. I'd be curious what your take is on what you feel Acura's biggest contributions will be, and then things that maybe the True Temper side will contribute to some of your products.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, in that I think people don't realize that Acura has 400 custom club fitting accounts worldwide. And we are sort of have an expertise in dealing with professional club fitters. And everything we've done since day one, almost 15 years ago, or over 15 years ago, has been involved regarding professional club fitters. And also our relationships with them. And so what True Temper looked at with PGMC is our shipping capabilities. We have a great team generally, and the acquisition didn't just include Acura. It was the entire team, which includes a warehouse in North America, a warehouse in London, England, a team that supports both of those, plus, like I said, the whole customer service standpoint that we offer, and the shipping capabilities. But on top of that, the Acura part of it, Acura's always been dedicated to the professional club fitter, and so we design shafts a little differently than other companies. I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about that. Whereas True Temper tends to be more of an all-encompassing company. And so True Temper has an expertise not only in the premium aftermarket, but also in dealing with major manufacturers and major distributors worldwide. And so their price points and their product line is much more, it's a wider scope than Acura is. Like I said before, the marriage between the two made a lot of sense from day one.
Yep. And so is there anything you can give me a little peek behind the curtain, anything in development that we may be seeing? I know that sometimes it's a little difficult to talk about these conversations and obviously all respect to confidentiality, but I have to imagine there are some new products coming down the pipeline considering this merger.
Yeah, so with Acura, we tend to do most of our introductions at the PGA Merchandise Show in end of January. We have a number of products in the works this year, and especially with the new partnership with True Temper. There are some new cool things we're going to be working on between now and then. But our TZ5 and TZ6 line have been just mind-blowing to us in the acceptance we've had to them worldwide. And we're going to have a few additions to that line, which I think will surprise everybody with. And our iron shaft lines, the graphite iron shaft lines under the Acura brand, certainly True Temper is going to bring some cool graphic changes to it, which I think we can take advantage of some of the expertise that True Temper brings to the table from that standpoint. And we're looking at doing a few changes to that line, including a new brand to that. So that will be kind of cool. Also, we use a manufacturer in Japan. We get our materials from Toray, and we usually introduce a boutique brand, a boutique line each year. And I think you're going to find some cool new stuff there with some new technology that will change the industry a little bit. From a True Temper perspective, because obviously I wear two hats, or one big hat, I guess.
Right.
certainly there's a new line of wood shafts coming out in the next month or so, which has been teased a little bit and will be used on tour. It's an extension or a new version of the Evenflow line. And that's going to be really exciting, and you're going to see that in the upcoming future. Plus, on the steel front, you might see something from Acura, and I'll leave it at that.
Wow, that's going to be exciting. I mean, that's uncharted territory for Acura, right? I mean,
well, so we actually had the Acura Tour steel shaft back when we first started Acura. We were involved with Royal Precision back in the day, which was acquired by True Temper many moons ago, so this is kind of a little bit of an extension to that. Although this is a whole new technology that we've been working on actually for a while with True Temper. And we're looking forward to introducing that. So
yeah, really excited to see what that's all about. Let's talk specifically about Acker for just a few moments. Some folks out there that are listening may not be as familiar with Acker shafts and your products, because Acker has never been one to place products with the major manufacturers. So give us a little bit of background, make us, you know, help our listener get a little more familiar with the Acker products.
Yeah, so going back 15 years, I remember looking at all the golf chat sites and things like that, and I'd see people in these chat sites bashing golf shafts because, you know, this shaft that Tiger Woods uses, I got one of these off eBay or something like that, and I tried it, and I couldn't get it airborne, it went right, and it's, you know, I've been saying, you dumbass, and that shaft wasn't for you. You're a 15, 16 handicap, and you swing at 90 miles an hour, and Tiger swings a little differently. And so I always had this, when we first started Acura, the idea was to find something that would be able to, we'd ensure that anybody that got an Acura shaft would be happy. Right. And we looked at the professional club fitter world as a way to get into that world. And so we started Acura Shafts as a premium shaft brand available only to custom club fitters. And at the time, you know, custom club fitters were kind of witches and warlocks. They didn't have access to major manufacturers' heads. They were using more of these sort of component heads that people didn't really know. So it was a little bit of a shot in the dark for us. But when we did it's consistently grown. We've been loyal to professional club fitters since day one. But because of that, the consumer doesn't see our shafts or Acura shafts in the major manufacturers' clubs at the local box store.
Right.
And so it's not as, the awareness isn't really there necessarily. But professional club fitters, I think, have known us for a while now and understand not only the quality but the performance aspects of Acura. So we've kind of grown from that for 15 years now, and we've always maintained that concept of being professional club fitter only. And when True Temper came to us and looked at the opportunity to acquire us, they looked at that as being a strength of Acura. And it was just a little different than most of the other shaft companies in the industry.
Yeah, and there are two parts of that that I'd like to get into.
Sure.
First being, you know, for folks, pyramid of influence, right? What gets used out on tour? I think that drives a lot of consumer decisions. And a lot of folks may not be aware that you guys have quite an influence out on tour, have worked with quite a few players. I know, obviously, relationships can sometimes be difficult to talk about in this sort of format, but tell us some of the successes that you have had out on the PGA.
Sure. Well, I mean, Acura has had a focus on the PGA Tour since day one. And it's always been we look at it as a way to create awareness for the product from a general aspect, but it's also an amazing place to test product. And, you know, when you have a chance to test with PGA Tour players, you're getting the best feedback you can possibly get. So from a design perspective and also an acceptance perspective, the PGA Tour has always been important to us. You know, people don't realize that, the number one player in the world, this is going back a number of years, he was number one player for a year. He used two Acura shafts in his driver and three wood.
Yep.
We've had some amazing, we've had guys that have used Acura shafts literally since they got on two. I meant Ryan Palmer's a good friend of mine, and he's been using Acura shafts since he was on the web.com tour.
Right.
I think it was even before that. And he's been on tour for a while and had, you know, four wins using Acura shafts. But, you know, this past year's U.S. Open champion used two Acura shafts. We've had great success on tour with numerous players. And the great aspect of that also is the relationships we get with major manufacturers because of the success we have on tour. So the manufacturers don't necessarily sell Acura products, but they understand the performance values, and they certainly help us out on tour with some of their players.
Yeah, and so we've seen that. You know, you mentioned just a little bit ago about how it's been important during the development of Acura to have products that focus across a wide demographic of players. And that's something, you know, we engage in our own third-party testing at TruSpec, and it's something we've seen is that when you're talking about the high-launch, high-spin SKUs that you guys offer, they are some of the highest-launching, highest-spinning SKUs available in the marketplace, which is a good thing for folks that lack speed and lack the ability to carry the ball very far. And then when you look at some of the low-launching, low-spin products that you guys offer, once again, those are some of the lowest-launching, lowest-spinning. So, you know, with some shaft manufacturers, there's a lot of overlap between products. I would say that from a custom fitting aspect, having a product line or having a brand that offers product lines that has a very wide array of offerings is most important, because that allows us to fit the most players. Yeah. And something that a lot of folks may not be aware of is that, just according to our own internal findings, Acra offers that broadest array of all these different products. So, you know, from that point, I think you guys have really hit the mark. I'd be curious, you know, when you're talking about the actual technical parts of your products, what are the differentiations specific to Acra that I think is supposed to, you know, is important for the listener to know?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think I'm one of those guys that now is getting a slower swing speed, needs that more spin and higher launch. I mean, the one great thing with Acra is when you're dealing with professional club fitters, it gives us a wide array of opportunities when we're designing shafts. So we don't design, I say we, Acra doesn't design shafts necessarily for the masses as a whole. Acra has the opportunity of designing shafts at both ends of the spectrum and really taking a chance when we do designs. We can kind of take flyers on ideas. So, you know, when a normal shaft manufacturer is designing something that's going to be used and, you know, hopefully used in the aftermarket and then moved to an OEM product, they have to make something that sort of has a wide spectrum of usage, meaning they can't go too crazy with their designs. With Acra, we can make the tip softer than most. We can make some tips that are stiffer than most, because we also have other brands or models that are available in the more middle area of that bell curve. So we get to take sort of the extreme outlook when we do our designs. And we've really pushed the limits on a lot of things. TZ6 is a perfect example where we really push the limits of something. And, you know, you never know if it's going to be successful. And all of a sudden, the longest hitter on the PGA Tour is using it, three-time major champions using it. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this thing works. And it really wasn't necessarily designed for that type of player. So when we're designing stuff, we can take chances on really cool new materials. We can take chances on really cool new profiles. And, you know, we have a machine that enables us to be able to totally profile a shaft from top to bottom very quickly. And we can look at different wall thicknesses, different material lays, and things like that to create unique designs.
And this is a machine that's proprietary to you guys, that really nobody else really uses this to dive into shaft, performance and construction.
It was really important to us from a design perspective to be able to truly analyze and blueprint a shaft, from top to bottom, 360 degrees, inside and out. And, you know, so developing a machine that basically tests not only straightness and deflection and EI and frequency on multiple planes and give us consistency factors and also measure torque and things like that, all in a very... In a pneumatic way where it takes the human element out of it and gives us an accurate reading on every shaft very quickly. That enables us also to design new shafts and also for quality control. We test every shaft before it goes out the door. So when you get a shaft at TruSpec, you know you're getting a shaft that's met our tolerances, and we believe our tolerances are the best in the industry. So when you go back to your original question, I mean, the cool thing is using that machine, player testing, PGA Tour, and things like that, we're able to push the limits probably more than most companies are. And that gives us a competitive advantage in the custom club fitting world. I mean, one thing I sort of have discussions with all the time is sometimes we create shafts like an 80 gram M3, which is an RFX. Right. And we kind of look at it and say, we're not going to sell any of these things. But there's always that person that needs that shaft.
Right.
And if Acra can offer it, it just means that TruSpec will think of Acra when they have that guy.
Exactly right. There was one little piece in that conversation there that I want to pick up on, and that is tolerances. You know, I can say this, that when we at TruSpec, one of the important things is that we can replicate what the client hits in their fitting. I tell people all the time that custom fitting, the fitting portion is only half of it. If you don't replicate what was hit in the fitting on the build side of things, then it's kind of like going to the doctor, getting an MRI, and then you don't do anything about it, or they get prescribed the wrong medicine. So it's very important that you can replicate on the build side, and the only way you can do that is if the product components that you're working with have very tight tolerances. If there are very broad tolerances, then it's much more difficult to replicate what a client hits in their fitting. One thing that I'd be curious to have you speak to is that, you know, we see some products out on the marketplace that have made for, they're very similar to the OEM product, they're very similar to the premium product, but we may find them in some OEM, you know, product, head products. And there are differences between the made for. It doesn't mean that they're worse or better, but I think it's important to understand that you may see a product that's very similar as far as graphics, that may have the same franchise name, but there's a difference between that and what you get at the premium aftermarket. If you can kind of get a little bit into that, I think it'd be helpful for listeners.
That's not too confusing, is it?
Well, we fight this all the time. You know, we recommend a product to somebody, then they see it somewhere else, and it's usually a very different price point. Yeah. And it's a very difficult conversation to have that, well, what you're seeing there is not exactly what we were recommending you. So
no, totally. One of the reasons, and I'll go back to my original conversation about dealing with professional club fitters and trusting professional club fitters to be able to spread the word. And, you know, certainly, you know, TruSpec and other professional club fitters, they make their names known by looking after customers and making sure customers get the best possible product. And certainly when you have the confusion in the industry right now, and it has been for a number of years, where there are a lot of golf shaft companies that have, you know, looking the exact same, the graphics are the exact same, but one is a different product than the other one. You know, there's different ways of handling that. Some companies have a premium shaft made in Japan, let's say, and another shaft made in another factory somewhere else overseas. And, you know, that one goes to an OEM, whereas the premium one goes to club fitters. But the consumer doesn't know the difference when they go into a box store and they see a shaft that looks like the one that TruSpec is selling. And you have to try and explain that. What we've done with TruTemper is a different way of handling it, where basically the shafts the OEMs receive and the shafts the club fitters receive are the exact same shaft. The difference is in the actual manufacturing process. So TruTemper had handcrafted, which became iconic now.
Right.
And now has moved into a branding called Small Batch. And the idea of Small Batch and handcrafted are the same, where each shaft is made on a separate line by one person, and the tolerances are second to none. Whereas their shafts that go to the OEMs are the same shaft, but they're obviously mass produced because the volume is much higher.
Right.
With Acro, there's a different philosophy where by dedicating ourselves to professional club fitters, we decided we never wanted to go down that road, and we never went to the OEM world to try and have that confusion. So if you see an Acro shaft in the market at any professional club fitter, you know it's the real shaft. It's the actual shaft made in our manufacturing facilities, and it's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's all great stuff. You know, I think it's important for any consumer out there that gets fit to just understand what you're, you know, if you're cruising around on the internet, know what you're looking at. Sometimes it can look very similar. And sometimes the performance can be very similar to the premium aftermarket, but it's kind of like finding a needle in a haystack when you talk about those larger product tolerances. So, you know, you've been around in the custom shaft fitting game for a long time. What advice would you give to the everyday player when it comes to picking the right shaft products for them?
Wow, get professionally fit, first of all. I mean, that's the most obvious thing. And the problem is with the professional club fitting world now, it's getting a little confusing into itself, where, you know, people go into a facility where they get to try three drivers that are already built up, and they hit three, and this one has the best numbers, and they walk away and say they were professionally fit, but they were
right.
Fit. You know, that there's like you alluded to earlier on, the build is as important as the actual fitting.
Right.
So, I mean, the fitting part, there's the technology, which is the numbers. There is when you have somebody who's trained to be a fitter and understands how to, you know, incorporate your swing into what type of club works best for you. And I say club, I mean the shaft combination with the head. There's a total difference. And when you go into a TruSpec, for example, there are 100 and some odd shafts on the wall for drivers.
Right.
And you're going to try a number of different shafts, not only the ones that probably should fit you, but you're also going to try some ones that are maybe on the outside a little bit to see what really works.
Right.
And you're going to try it with a number of different heads. So there's that brand agnostic type attitude that comes to the table. You're not just drawing a one fitting cart from one manufacturer.
Right.
My advice to any person who's looking at finding the best product for you, you know, rather than just look on, you know, a website and say this one looked cool because somebody on tour is using it, it's worth the extra couple bucks. It really isn't that much difference generally when it's all said and done to get something that really works for you. And, you know, we've believed in professional club fitters since day one, and there's no doubt in my mind to this day that anybody can benefit from getting the proper product for them.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Gavin. You know, this is all great stuff. We really loved having you on. We look forward to having you on again sometime in the future. And for all you folks out there, make sure that you get a chance to try some of the new products coming from True Sports, as well as Acra. They make, you know, really exceptional products and can definitely help your game. Thanks, Gav.
Appreciate it.
And that'll do it for episode 21 of Fully Equipped. Thanks, as always, to Gavin for the time and the insight. We look forward to having you back for the next episode. And if you want to catch more from us in the gear space, you can always follow Tim on social media. He's at Tim_Breon78 on Instagram and at Club Whisper, still one of my favorite handles, on Twitter. I'm at Jonathan R. Wall on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you around.